Blog Talk Radio.
Praise team, join your life. We're going to do a song that's a part of our worship. How many know he's wonderful? Put your hands together and sing this.
We love you.
go to the Lord in prayer. Father and our God, we just thank you. We adore you for who you are, what you are, what you've done for us, and what you're still doing. Now, God, we ask that you give us knowledge, understanding, revelation of your word tonight. We'll forever give you glory, honor, and praise. This is our prayer in your darling son, Jesus' name, for us say. Every heart said amen, amen, and amen. We're honored and thankful for all what God is doing and what he's getting ready to do in our lives. And we thank God for each and every one of you here tonight, that's here on campus, those that's radio broadcast, and those that's tuned in shortly for Facebook Live. We thank God for you. Truly, God has just been a blessing. He's continued to bless us tremendously. So I thank him for that. Amen. How many of you are just glad to be here in the presence of the Lord? We're grateful and thankful to God for that. Good to be in the number, amen. One more time. So we thank God for that. It's time, amen. As we prepare, we are grateful and thankful to all of you. Before we get started, just want to congratulate the viewers that's coming on. I want to congratulate one of my colleagues. First woman pastor of St. Mark AME Church there in Thomasville. Not only one of my colleagues, but Miss ASC back in the day. It's Veronica Anderson. Amen. Lewis now, I believe, in her marriage name. But she's the first woman pastor, female pastor that they have. That the St. Mark AME in Thomasville, we want to congratulate her. Amen. We thank God for all of you tuning in, coming in. See our frat brothers coming in, tuning in tonight. God bless each and every one of you. Thank God for you. We want to just continue as we started, and want to go back and bring about these wisdom nuggets that will help us not only in the kingdom, but in our everyday life. Amen. And things that will help us in our everyday life kind of detoured away from our regular lesson, and we thought that God would have us to continue to do this, and this is what we're doing. Good evening. Good evening, Gov. We thank God for you. Amen. So let's go and see how we can become better people, better stewards, better Christians, better husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, how we can just become better overall. As we go back to the beginning, this is for those you already may have it, some of you, but we want to go back where others can get this. If we're going to be better in what we do, number one, we have to respect your tongue. And class, say respect your tongue. You got to respect your tongue. When God wanted to create the world, he put it in words. He spoke it. He spoke it. Words are creative forces that bring into existence that which never existed before. And we got to understand something, people of God, that your tongue is one of the greatest gifts that's placed at your command by God. And we ought to use it wisely. Can we say use it wisely? When you use it wisely, you will discover the golden key to life. James puts it this way in James chapter number 3, around verses 4 and 5. But let me just go back and read, begin with number 1 James chapter number 3, number 1, it says, dear brothers and sisters, many of you should become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged, watch this, more strictly. Because we should know better. Amen. Those that teach are going to be judged stricter, more strictly than others. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. And let me say that again for the ones that got it all together. Amen. We all make many mistakes. For if we would control our tongue, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. That's something that we must do. We got to respect the tongue. You respect your tongue. If you control it, you can control other things. You can control yourself in every other way. Because when you want to do something or you want to say something, when you control that thing, when you respect and know what your tongue can do, you'll hold that back, then you can control yourself. Because how many of you know, once it's in the atmosphere, you can't bring that back. Once you put it out there, there's no turning it around. You know, sometimes we'll try to fix it up, but you have already put it out there. Amen. So we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in his mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go. Even though the winds are strong, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can get a great forest on fire. You've got to understand that like the ships, also the ships, which though they be so great, they are driven in fierce winds, yet are they turned with a small very helm, whithersoever he wants it to go. And it's just like when you want something to go somewhere, that little tongue that's in your mouth, that little rudder, it can cause some stuff. It can cause some problems. It can cause some situations. It can cause a whole lot of things. That's why we got to respect it, our tongue. Not only must we respect our tongue, let's go to number two. You got to say what God wants to hear. There's some things we got to say. We got to do what God wants. We got to say what God wants us to hear, what he wants to hear. God bless you, our friends, Pastor Boyd, Pastor Sanders, Sister Johnson. We thank you all for tuning in. Brother Cody, frat brothers, they're coming in tonight. Amen. Give it up to the good brothers. Amen. We thank God for them. Look, you got to say what God wants to hear. Your words affect God, and your prayers ignite him. Come on. Your words affect God, and your prayers ignite him. You want God to move, say what he wants to hear. It's not all about you now. That's not going to make him move. We're all about ourselves, and we're talking about ourselves when it's more about us. Your prayers ignite him. Your words affect him. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray for provision. Taught them how to pray for protection. Taught them how to pray and pardon. For pardon. Go to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. He taught us how to pray. Matthew 6, verse number 9. Look what he says. You need to pray like this. Our Father, in heaven, may your name be kept holy. And this from the New Living Translation, in which I'm reading from, the New Living Translation. He taught them how to pray. What for? Provision. May your kingdom come. May your will be done as on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day for protection. Give us this day for provision. Give us Give us this day the food we need, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And do not let temptation, us yield to temptation, protection. Talk about protection. Don't let us go in there and yield into that, but rescue us from the evil one. He taught us how to pray for provision, protection, and pardon. And this is what we ought to be able to talk to God and say what he wants us to hear. He wants us to hear us tell him, God, I need you to protect me. I'm praying for my protection, praying for my provision. I'm even praying for pardon. Forgive us, as we forgive those who sin against us. Pardon me. Look, don't get to the point in your life where you think you never did anything wrong, that you don't need to be pardoned, that you don't need to be forgiven. You need to be protected. Don't let nothing evil come against you. And provide. Give us what's on earth. Give us on earth what's in heaven. Provide everything that we need. You got to know how to talk in faith. This is all he's saying. Faith talk is what God responds to. God responds to our faith talk. Look, you can't be a child of God saying that you believe in him and all the power that he possesses and everything that he can do. Come around and say, Lord, I know you can do it. You're going to make a way out of nowhere. You're going to bring me out of this. God, I see you pulling me up, pulling me out. I see you taking me through, getting me through. Then the next minute something happened. Oh, I don't know what world going on in my life. I just can't make it. I'm just going to go down. I'm just, how are you going? You got to talk faith.
Amen.
Faith talk. God responds to your faith talk. Faith talk is what God responds to favorably. Confess your sins, your desire for forgiveness, and the things you need God to do in your life. You know you're going to do wrong because guess what? We're in the flesh. So we got to know how to ask God to forgive us. Pardon us. That's why he said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. You can't get away from praying. You can't get away from that. You got to talk to them and seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I forgive their sins. Then I'll heal the land. You know how to do some things. This is what God said. This is how he puts it in order. God is the God of order. Did y'all see that? There is order in this scripture. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. First of all, you got to do something first. Humble yourself. And pray. Humble yourself. Now I got to pray. Look, I'm not as big as I think I am. Let me humble myself to the one that I know got all power. So I'm praying to him. Now I'm praying. Now in my prayer, I'm seeking his face. I'm seeking his face. Now, while I'm praying, while I humble myself, because one thing about it, you're not going to pray and you won't seek him, his face, if you're not humble. Why? He humble yourself because he knows if you got the big head, if it's all about you, you're not going to pray to him. You're not going to seek him because you think you got it all together. You did this all by yourself. You where you are because of you. So now he says, no, first of all, you've got to humble yourself. Then pray. And while you're doing that, now seek my face. Try to find me. Seek me. Come after me. There's some things we got to do. And once you're doing all that, if you're seeking me, you're turning from your wicked ways. Because now I'm seeking you. So what? Look, you might be looking over here. Look, God just dropped this in my spirit. The Holy Spirit just hit me with it. Look, I humble myself. I'm praying. Now I'm seeking. I'm seeking. You know, where are you at? What am I doing? I'm turning from my wicked ways and I'm seeking Him. All the stuff I used to do, I'm turning from it because I'm seeking. I'm seeking Him. I'm turning from my wicked ways. Y'all got that. So when I begin to seek, I'm turning from some stuff because now I'm trying to find what I need. Then he said, look, if I can get you to seek me and turn from your wicked ways, if I can get you looking from me, then he said, look at that, I will then hear from heaven and forgive their sin. Then I'll heal the land. Too many people, they're not praying. They're not, first of all, they're not humbling themselves. Folks just want to jump and start praying. But you're not humbling yourself because you still think it's about you. That the song says, I give myself away. That's humbling yourself. You got to give yourself away so He can use you. Now I'm praying, God, whatever it is that you have for me to do, I'm seeking you. I need to know what I need to do for you. I'm turning from all of this confusion, all of these issues. I'm turning and I'm seeking you. So now I want you to forgive my sin. Forgive my sin and heal my land. In other words, then he healed your land. It goes beyond what we're thinking. He said, heal your land. Now he'll give you peace from where you've been hurt. He'll restore you from where you've been broken. I'm going to heal your land. Come on, we're missing it. We're missing the point. We're missing the whole case. When he said, when he forgives your sin, now he's going to heal you from all that. I know you've done it. I know you've been involved in it. But I'm healing you from that. It won't have any effect on you anymore. Regardless of whatever people say or try to remind you of, look, I've been healed from that.
Amen.
That land I've been healed from. So it don't bother me when you try to bring up my past. I'm teaching this thing tonight. It doesn't bother me because now I'm healed. I sought Him. I humbled myself. I knew I was doing what I was doing was wrong. I knew I wasn't where I should have been. I knew I was making everything about me. So I humbled myself and I began to pray to God, the one to seek, the one that can take this and change this.
Amen.
Change my whole heart. Then He forgave me. He heard from heaven. He forgave me because my prayer shot up to the heaven. So now He said, then I will hear from heaven. He's going to hear because when we're praying up into the heavenlies. So what now is transforming back, transferring back to the Savior because He's in the heavenlies. And it's transferring back to Him. So I'm hearing now what you sent up to heaven. So now I can begin to do some work. Because you followed the process. You really wanted it, so you did. And how I actually put it out. So now I'm going to do just what I'm saying. So now that's why you can walk in the places that you used to be crying in. You can walk with your chest and head held up high and smile. And I'm talking about enjoy, be peaceful, because now you've been healed from that. Because wherever your pain took place in the land. Y'all listening. So now I'm healing the land. So now I can walk all over this land. I can walk to and fro and still have peace in my spirit, in my soul, regardless of what people say, think, how they look. It does not matter. I can still have peace because I've been healed. Yeah. Call him, seek him, while he may.
what?
Your expectations. You're speaking things
into existence. Yeah, I expect I'm just gonna stay in this little small house. I expect this is what I'm just have in my life. I expect this how my life gonna be. That's your expectation. I expect I'm just gonna be in this little small neck of the woods. Your expectation. So guess what? If that's your level of expectation, you won't try to do anything else.
All right.
Because what? You already reached your expectation. So if I've already reached my expectation, why should I expect something else? You're fine with where you are. Because that's what you expect. And that's what you believe. It affects what you believe. So if I'm believing I'll never go anywhere, if that's my expectation, and then I'll always stay right here.
All
right. If I'm always expecting that I got to depend on somebody else to come through for me to help me and do something, then that's where I'm going to be. I'm always going to go begging, hey, I need your help. I need you to do this. Crying, all this is. Because that's your expectation.
Amen.
Got to expect better. You got to expect greater.
Amen.
Joshua 1 and 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. You get it in your spirit. Meditate on it day and night. What the word of God is telling us. Then you'll get to the point of making your way prosperous. When you begin to change your expectations, your thoughts, and begin to speak the things that be not as though they already are, then you will have good success. You got to know how to be positive when others aren't positive. Yeah. That's why you got to say what God wants to hear. You got to know how to speak positive things over your life and others try to speak negative things over your life. You got to know how to talk to yourself. I'm doing the best I can. You got to know how to talk to yourself. Yes, I can. You got to go to the Word, because the Word tells us that I can do all things through Christ that strengthen us. Now, if I can do all things through Christ that strengthen me, it does not matter what you say. If I'm believing this word, I believe that this word tells me that I can be an achiever, that I can have good success. So if I believe in this, then if I follow what God told me to do and how he told me to do it, then there's no other reason why I should not have good success. Because I humble myself. I pray, I turn, I sought his face, and I turned from my wicked ways. Then he heard from heaven. Then he began to forgive me of my sins and started healing me of my land. I'm healing me from this stuff. Tell what you said about me, talked about me, scandalized my name. Trying to put it up there, but I know I've been delivered and healed from it and forgiven Truly
possibility, my promotion, because when you carry your hurt into your tomorrow, into your future, you are never going to where God wants you to go because you're too busy dwelling on your experience of being hurt. And you can't do anything because every time you think about the pain, it puts you back in your under your weeping willow tree. It puts you back in your cave. It puts you back to a place of despair. It puts you back in a place of loneliness. So now I'm depressed. I'm sitting here. I don't want to take my life to continue. So I'm thinking ways of how can I kill myself, because you are now in the pain to overstep your expectations. But when you allow your expectations to walk over your experiences, now you understand that there's something eternal for me, and that eternal grace, that eternal peace, there's something better on the other side of my expectations than my experiences.
Y'all got me working like a son.
Moving in your own universe.
behalf. I see him turning things around on your behalf. Where you are now, I see it. Receive it now. Receive it. Receive it. The photograph of possibilities. Talk expectations and not experiences. Because if you talk experiences, you're going to be talking all day. Because all of us have gone through some stuff. We're still going through some things. Every day is a day of experiences. But when I talk my expectations, they outweigh my experiences. Because some experiences I don't like. Some experiences I don't know how to deal with them. I can't handle. Some experiences have me crying. Some experiences have me full of joy. But my expectations and my sorrow is full of happiness. And my disappointment is full of grace and peace. Okay. Number Galatians 6:9 says this, and let not your heart be weary in well doing. For in due season you shall reap if you don't faint. You're gonna reap if you don't faint. Don't get weary. Yeah. And doing good. In due season. Somebody say due season. You shall reap if you don't quit, if you don't give up. Well, you come too far to give up now. Come too far. You invested too much in the kingdom to give up now. Don't get weary now. And well doing. Yeah. You know you're doing good. You know you're doing well. Don't get weary. When folks try to make it seem like you ain't doing nothing. You know what you're doing. You know what you put in. You know what you invested. You just waiting on your harvest. Your due season. And I declare somebody shout, my due season is now. You gotta believe it. Not through season and now. I told you. You gotta expect some things that you speak out of your mouth. You gotta speak it with authority. Not through season is now. It's now. Okay, why can I say that? And how can I say that? It's because I've done something. I can boldly say my due season is now. Because I humbled myself, and I prayed, and I sought his face, and turned from my wicked ways. Then he heard from heaven, and he gave me my seed, and now he healed my land. So now I can say my due season is right now. Right now. When I sought him, I learned how to sow. Because if I expect something out, I got to put something in it. See, some of us are getting the repercussions of our soul now. I know we alluded to it, and get your understanding. You understand it. We got to understand some things, you know. You know, when you sow, that's an investment. You invest in it. But when you begin to be a blessing or get a blessing, it's right now. Some of us are still waiting on our investment. But God said, because of your investment, I'm going to throw in something for you right now. I know you're waiting on it. But I'm about to give you something immediately. Who am I talking to? A blessing is immediate. A seed of sowing is investment. And I know I got somebody that wants something immediate. And because of your investment, God said, I'm giving you your now, right now.
Instant. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Pastor Fred.
I don't believe that he's already prepared.
thing, watch this, whatever you go through, it doesn't bother you. It doesn't get under your skin, it doesn't get on your nerves. Because you've absorbed the promises of God. When folk get on your last nerve come out of you, you don't worry about it because you've absorbed. Fret not thyself. Because of evil doing, you will be not envious of the workers of iniquity, for they soon shall be cut down like the grass and withered the earth. You've absorbed the promises of God. When you're out on the streets and when you're doing the work of God, you don't worry about it because he said, Lord, I'll be with you. Even to the end, I've absorbed the promises of God. You don't have to worry about your enemies because he said, I'll make your enemies mine. I've already absorbed the promises of God.
Absorbing this.
think I got two more in there that's going to help us? Can I just do two more? Six. I need you to picture your desired future. I need you to picture your desired future. Watch this one, because Abraham had a picture of many generations of children that he wanted. Go and find that in Genesis chapter number 17. He had a picture of the generations of children that he wanted. Joseph had a dream of himself as a leader, and he remembered it. Well, in Genesis 37, watch, you got to know God's dream for your life. You got to get the picture. You got to get the picture big. You got to get the picture bigger. Fill up your mind. Fill up your heart. And fill your life up with it. Now make that vision consume your life. Every thought, every conversation, everything around you, whatever the vision is, whatever your dream is, make that a consumption around your life. Put that in your life, in everything that you do. Always keep it within your mind, within your heart, within your soul, within your life. As you go around throughout the day, you got the big picture of your future, your desired future. Daughter called me today, said that she had Miss Courtney talked to me yet about something. I said, why you can't talk to me? I want her to tell you. You know, I want her to tell you. Then when she told me, I realized why she wanted her to tell. Because she couldn't explain it the way that it was given to her, because that wasn't in her field of expertise. So Lady Wright would be able to explain it to me better. She had a dream of her desired future. She knew what she wanted to do, but when it comes to the business side of it, she didn't know how to explain it where I would understand. So now she had somebody to stand in the gap that was able to explain what needed to be explained the way that it needed to be explained for me to understand, to say, okay, well, I'll get behind you 100%, because if I don't understand it, see, you got to have this consumption of what you wanted to do with your big picture. So when you begin to sell it and begin to tell somebody, you understand and know what your picture is and where you want to end up. But if you don't know the fullness of it, you got to know how to go to somebody for some help. No, help me right here. Because every now and then, you don't need somebody to help you get to where you need to be. There is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Proverbs 29:18. Let me see if I close out on this one. Number 7. You gotta find some faith food. Find some faith food. What you read affects what you believe. What you read affects what you believe. You know there are some people that will read the word of God but won't believe it. But they'll go to Google and believe everything you tell. Because what you read affects what you believe. They're going to get their books and believe everything, because that's what Dr. R said.
Uh-huh.
That's what Dr. Phil said. What did the Lord say? And sometimes folk don't have sense enough to really hear what's being said. Because when you hear Dr. Oz and Dr. Phil, they're talking straight. They believe in something. They tell you, you gotta believe this thing. You gotta believe that. What is that faith? Faith coming by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. They understand the word of God, but you won't understand it or don't want to get it because you won't want to hear it and read it for yourself. You got to find some faith food. When you read the scriptures into your spirit, man, faith comes alive and begins and becomes a living force within you. When you go and do something and you say to yourself, I can do all things, that's faith. I can become whoever God wants me to be. That's faith. I can handle this regardless of your incapacities. I can do this. Even because of your medical maladies, I can still accomplish this. Because your faith is strong. You found some faith food. Come on, let me see if I can help you. Because there's some folks that don't have arms. But they still making beautiful pictures, drawing, doing all kind of things with their feet. Because their faith tells them, even though I don't have arms, I still got some limbs that I can do something. Some folks don't have arms and legs, but they got a mouth and they sit there and write and draw. I've seen some folk in heaven just drawing with the mouth. Because their faith food says that I can do this. And I'm not going to let my medical malady stop me from doing what I'm able to do.
Amen. Amen.
Read the Bible.
Yes.
Read books that stir your faith in God. You got to read.
Yes.
You got to read.
Yes.
Nurture the seed of faith inside of you. Because sometimes when you just look at an acorn, all you see is an acorn. Some folks, that's all they see. That is an acorn. Oh, I see an oak tree. Because it might be small right now. But it's getting ready to grow into what it needs supposed to grow in. Now, here it is. This big old oak tree come from a small acorn.
God is good.
A faith tells little acorn, look, I'm not going to always be small.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Oh, yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. On a bee. Wings are smaller than the body of a bee. You think them wings too small, they can't do nothing, but he flies all over the place.
Yes.
And if you get close to him, he'll sting.
He'll sting. That's right.
Don't care how big you are.
Uh-huh.
He ain't afraid to come sting. You get near his territory. Come on, how in the world can bees and wasps protect their territory, but we're afraid to protect ours? They stand up. We run. We run from the faith. We won't protect the faith. A bee and a wasp, they'll protect their area. So then, faith cometh by hearing by the word
of God. Yes. And my strength is in what I live like, not what I look like.
Amen.
Pastor Fred said, my strength is in what I live like, not what I look like.
All right.
Because you're looking at me and think that I can't do nothing. But I'm living my life from the possibilities of what God has given me. Whether it's small or big, I'm living not what I look like. Even though my wings may be small, I'm still fast. The wings are small, but they still fast. They still can maneuver. They move. And watch this. They may be small, but they still make some noise. You know it's coming. I might be small, but you know I'm coming. And you're intimidated. Why? Good God, help me up in here, Holy Ghost. A lot of folk, they are intimidated by bees and afraid of them, big as you are. You're afraid of something small.
Yes, that's true. I am.
Come on. What is that saying? It don't matter how big you are or how small I am. You don't intimidate me because I'm small.
All right.
Come here, David.
Yeah.
All right. Goliath thought that he was something, but David said, you don't intimidate me because I serve a God that's bigger than you.
Oh, my God.
And he's giving me something that you don't have. He's given me an anointing to bring big things down.
Hey, you own it, baby.
I'm trying to stop.
If you work it in the night,
he gave us dominion. Man got dominion over him, so you can't tell that bee to shoot. You can't tell that cat to get out of the way. Yeah, I got him. I got plenty, too. I'm talking about a little small thing. Okay, look here, because you know a snake come from, I'm rolling. But y'all see, but we have dominion over these things. Look at how the small things have us.
I'm preaching.
Watch this, because small churches got big ministries. Afraid, y'all. Small ministries. Yeah. Small ministries got big churches afraid of them. Because there's a special anointing in your small ministry. Yeah, that's not in a big ministry. So they're afraid of the anointing. So what they will try to do, they will try to smash you up and tear you down. But God has given you an anointing that's going to supersede the larger ministry. Because you're doing a mega ministry in many places. Many churches doing mega ministries. That was just something to encourage those of you that have small ministries. You got some big folk running from you. You got some folk running from you because you're doing big things. You making some noise. They know you coming. Yeah. I got your cover team. They know you coming. They hear you making noise and they're afraid. They're afraid of you. They're talking about you. Yeah, they're doing some major things. They're doing some big things. They're small, but they're doing some big things because you got some
some saints. You got some faith that they don't have because they think they already there. That's why you understand that God is beginning to bless you because you heard the word. Here's my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. But let me tell you, when God blow you up, and he's getting ready to blow you up, when God blow you up, don't get to be heard. Don't get to the point where you're better than anybody else. Go back and strengthen your brother. Y'all missed that. When you've been converted, when you've been blessed, go back and strengthen your brother. Don't go back trying to charge them outrageous fees because you are there. You are here to help ministry do ministry.
Some folk think they get away with some stuff.
Come on now, come on.
but you don't have to come and ask the leader to pray for you.
All right.
After you prayed, it stopped, and after that, the area was known as Tabel, which means the place of burning, because the fire from the Lord have burned among them. Look, I ain't gonna go through all of this. Because this is some stuff. There's some stuff you got to read. I'm talking about they had stuff coming down from them. They had blessings. God was just blessing them day by day. Everything. They had all kind of cucumbers, melons, leek, onions, garlic. They had all kind of things. Manna started falling. But they start complaining about them eating the same stuff every day. Some folk complain about getting this word. Always preaching on deliverance, teaching on deliverance. They start complaining about stuff, getting food, the same food every day, preaching about sin, living right. We're tired of hearing this, always talking about this. So now, God said, I'm going to allow them to start talking about prosperity. Okay, you're tired about preaching about prosperity. Bring money here, bring money there. Complain about them. Y'all looking at me strange. They start complaining about stuff. So God got angry with them. He got angry with them. And then Moses got to the point and said, God, why in the world you gave me the people like these here? You mean to tell me they're complaining? I done brought them out of here and always said, we got this, we ain't got enough meat. I'm tired of all this. I want some meat, but you can't handle the meat.
All right.
Well, he started telling you how you got to live right, what you got to do, how you got to treat one another. Y'all can't handle the meat. So now God started raining meat down. He said, I'm going to give you so much meat. I'm going to drop so much stuff down for you. You're going to get so full. You ain't going to walk no more. You're going to burst. Make you sick. You're about to get sick. I'm going to give you so much of meat. You're going to get sick of hearing it. You're going to get sick of it. And to the point, some folk going to burst open and die because they're afraid that they got so much meat that they couldn't handle. Moses, I say, God, complain. You give me people like this. God, if this is how it's going to be, God, take me. I'm just paraphrasing on down. You read Numbers chapter 11 when you get a chance. I'm just paraphrasing. Lord, just kill me. Take me up out of here. If this is the type of people you want me to have, now don't even put me through this. Just take me out of here. But God heard him, and God heard him. God said, well, what I want you to do, I need you to go get 70 people, 70 men, and what? I'm going to give them the same anointing. That's on you. I'm going to give them the same amount, but then there was two that was still in the house that was watching the housing, and they talking about it was two more, but they got the same thing. Say, no, because they was watching over the house, I'm still going to give them the same anointing. Because I still need somebody to watch over the camp. And you will get the same anointing. Read it for yourself. When we get to the point of complaining, God knows how to stop. So we got to get ourselves in order with the Lord. Come on, give God some praise. We thank God for you on our radio broadcast, Wondrous Word broadcast. Those of you tuned in tonight via Facebook Live, and also those that are here on campus tonight, we thank God for you.